going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With us now is our 4th District Congressman, Ron Estes. Ron, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you, my friend.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate you having me on. And it was a great introduction that you gave, you know, because I am a co-sponsor of the bill to actually keep AM radio in cars. I mean, that's one of the things that just from an emergency broadcast standpoint and being able to get so much information across, particularly rural America, it's so important that we actually
think we can get that this year.
There's a lot of things moving on right now, and we'll see how the year unfolds. So right now we got one big beautiful field that we're focused on.
We'll get to that. Okay, let me start with, I saw, I think it was a KSN or one of the TV, I saw their news feed that you were in El Salvador recently as part of a trade mission, by the way. You weren't there to visit Alberio Garcia. But I'm curious, tell me about that. Tell me about the visit, the trip, and what you all were able to accomplish or what the purpose was.
Yeah, well, we went down a trip. It was mostly Ways and Means members, and of course we're responsible for all trade issues. So we went down, went to Panama, went to Brazil, went to Costa Rica, and also went to El Salvador when we were there. We toured the Panama Canal. Look how important that was from a trade standpoint.
Oh, yeah.
and just the cost of goods being able to get to and from. And the number one destination is to the east coast of the United States. So obviously, and then number two is from the west coast over to Europe. And so we need to make sure that we keep that open. We keep good control there. Obviously, there's some issues with Brazil on trade, particularly around tariffs. And we can talk some more about tariffs in general. But Brazil puts tariffs on things like ethanol that comes from the United States, but you know, it puts 18%, and whereas it's only 2.5% coming from the United States. And so obviously that impacts our farmers in Kansas and across the country. So the real focus was on trade. But while we were down there, we actually went to El Salvador. We were able to get into CICOT. And actually,
that's the prison, correct?
That's the prison there. And you know, the backstory, this isn't something the media really talks about, but the president down there 4 years ago said he's going to do something about crime. He made it his goal. He pledged that he was going to do that, and he did. What he did was he went out and built a prison. He built his they're able to hold up to 40,000 people, and they built it in less than 8 months. And it is, we were able to get inside with, they had, I think they have like 15,000 people that have committed crimes in El Salvador that are already locked up. And what's happened is because the president said, we're going to lock people up, we're going to prosecute them, and we're going to convict them, or we're going to detain them, the crime rate's gone down in El Salvador. It worked. He did what he needed to do. The country's a lot safer now because of that. And because of that as well, they had open space now. So, you know, when we talk about some of the deportees for some of these other countries that have come across illegally over the last 4 years or longer, that's kind of a way station while the country, you know, whether it's in South Central America or whether it's in Africa or Eastern Europe, they're being held there while they're waiting to be processed by the country to be received. And so, you know, it's a prison. It's not a place I'd want to go spend time in, but
the conditions aren't as horrible as what, I mean, the media is making this place out to be like, you know, some Nazi death camp.
Make it sound like a gulag or that.
Exactly.
Yes. It's a concrete building. Yes. It's, you don't have cable TV. You don't have air conditioning. You don't have all the, amenities that you might have.
It's not the Marriott.
But while we were there, they had a doctors and nurse set up. They had an infirmary inside the building that they can utilize. They had folks out doing exercises and stretching, and they brought out some of the prisoners and talked about some of their crimes that they were convicted of, and having the gang tattoos and everything just to highlight who they were and what their crimes were and how that impacted people in El Salvador.
Tell me what your thoughts are. I mean, it seems obviously they're on the opposite side of the aisle from you, so you're going to have some ideological differences with some of your colleagues. But it cannot be smart for some of these folks, your colleagues. You've had one senator and, what, four of your congressional colleagues fly down to El Salvador, one of whom pledged she wouldn't come back until she came back with him. And, of course, then she came back this week because he's still there. But I find it amazing that they're making so many things about Albrego Garcia. He's not a Maryland man. He's not a mild-mannered father. He's an illegal immigrant with a history of violence and gang activity. And yet they're trying to make this guy like he's, you know, Santa Claus.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can count that up as another broken promise, you know, to commit to stay there.
I'm not coming back until she went home.
You know, the thing about it is it's really the Democrats over the last, particularly the last 4 years, they either turned a blind eye or they were complicit in supporting what President Biden was doing to allow all these illegal people to come into our border and to come into our country. And instead, you know, President Trump says we're going to enforce the law, which is the exact same law that he had in his first term, Biden had during his term, and Trump's enforcing again now. You know, the folks, particularly, you know, a U.S. senator, U.S. Congress members, they ought to be focusing on how do they support American citizens. That's the role. They shouldn't be worried about El Salvador citizens as much as they should be worried about American citizens. And it's really sad to see where they put their priorities. But it's just a continuation of some of the waste, fraud, and abuse and other things that they're trying to support and encourage and continue.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at Von Holland, the Senator Von Holland, you know, he didn't even bother to pay lip service when his own constituent died, didn't even reach out to her mother, and yet he's doing all of this for Albrego Garcia, who's not a constituent. He's an illegal. They talk about bring the Maryland man home. I'm sorry, he is home.
Yep. He's an El Salvador citizen, and he's back where his home country. And, you know, a U.S. senator like Van Hollen ought to be supporting U.S. citizens instead of supporting El Salvador citizens.
We're talking with 4th District Congressman Ron Estes. Ron, you return to D.C. tomorrow. Like you mentioned earlier, number one priority is the budget. Probably Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is got to be a key part of that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yes, I mean, that's the biggest thing on our plate right now. We completed the first step of the budget reconciliation process. Basically, we got a budget resolution passed, same version same wording passed both the House and the Senate. It took the Senate amended the House's original version, and so the House had to pass it a second time in order to move forward. But we want to do, and you know, the president came up with the name of One Big Beautiful Bill, but it's so important to do that so that we can get it done. And the things that are in that bill, one, we're starting to go after mandatory spending and looking at ways that we can actually cut the deficit through that process. And then the biggest thing out there that's going to affect so many people across America is the extension and renewal of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that we passed in 2017. You know, there was so much positive that came out of that when we passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that we saw the economy grow. We saw people's salaries go. We saw more bonuses. We saw money being brought back into the United States for multinational companies, and they were using it to invest in the United States. They built new plants, they built research and development facilities, and spent the money here, invested here, and took our economy off. In fact, we actually made more in tax revenue over the last 7 years than what was projected by the
right.
Congressional Budget Office.
Right.
And they said we'd lose $1.5 trillion. We've actually more than made up for that through 2024. So we still have a few more years to make that happen. And we can't go backwards. You know,
no, it'd be a massive tax increase.
That's right. Back in 2017, you think about, you know, the Economist and President Obama were saying, well, we've just got this new normal. You just have to accept slow economic growth.
Right.
We had stagnant wages. Those are the types of things that were hurting Americans, and we can't go back to that.
It's like $3,000 for the average Kansas. It's
about $2,200 would be a tax increase for the average Kansan if we don't extend the tax cuts through that process. And there were so many good things in there that relate to pro-economic growth and pro-family, pro-middle class. I mean, we doubled the child tax credit as part of that. If we don't do the extension, that cuts back in half. We increased the standard deduction so people don't have to collect all the receipts and use it to itemize because the standard deduction is so high now. 91-92% of the people take the standard deduction because it's over $30,000 for a couple.
Right.
On that standard deduction. And so those are the things that make it easier to do your taxes. I mean, nobody likes to fill out the tax return. Nobody wants to pay the IRS.
Oh, but no.
We want to make it as easy and streamlined and make it so that it actually helps Americans instead of harms them.
The big talk right now is, we're at Trump's first 100 days. If you had to give him a letter grade, how would you grade the president's first 100 days?
You know, if you look at what the president, I guess this Wednesday when the first 100 days
right,
passes,
yep.
You know, the president campaigned on some specific things. And he's hit the ground running, working on almost everything that he talked about in the campaign. And yes, a lot of it's being done by executive orders. A lot of it's being done by the directions he's done his cabinet. Legislative process takes a little bit longer to codify some of those things. But you just look at all of that and activity and things that are going on. He's addressed the imbalances on the trade and the tariff activity. Haven't got all that resolved yet. I mean, it's created a little bit of the turmoil as we go through that change process.
Do you feel confident that will work itself out? I mean, countries are starting to come to the table. I know he's worked out deals with Israel and India. There are some countries that are already starting to come to.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll work itself out?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, you look at the imbalances. Even countries that are our friends have been over assigning tariffs to U.S. products. You know, whether it's Canada putting 200% or 300% tariffs on agriculture products or butter or dairy products and other things. You know, we don't sell much American beef to Australia because of the tariff they put on it. But Australian beef comes into the United States. And so even our friends have tariffs on products that they want to support. That first week of April when the tariffs structure was announced, before it was said we're going to put a 90-day moratorium on it, I believe in talking to Trade Ambassador Greer, that 70 different countries had reached out just in the first few days of that week afterwards to talk about, you know, we recognize that there's some injustice out there and you got to sort through that. And so I think for a lot of countries, they're going to say, yes, let's do the right thing moving forward. I think there's some that are going to drag their feet. I think China obviously is going to drag their feet because they realize how much money they're skimming off of the United States on all the activities they do, and want to continue that. Canada and a lot of places have done the same, even through USMCA. So I think that's one of those areas that we have to continue to work on, and we'll get as much as we can done and as quickly as possible. I think, you know, just in general, I'm not a big advocate of tariffs, because what they really are is it increases price of goods and it distorts the right marketplace. And you want to make sure that you have a good common sense free market for people to make decisions on. The best tariffs, one you propose that actually then leads to negotiation and never gets implemented.
Which I think is his plan all along. I think a lot of this has been a threat. And then they come to the table and you never have to actually.
It really is. And he's not the first president to talk about this injustice on the tariffs. It's just that his predecessors, whether they were Democrat or Republican, knew it was going to be there's going to be some tumultuous activity in that. And as you go through that change, and they didn't want to address that. But President Trump's been willing to step up.
They weren't willing to take the heat. And that's right. As we've seen before. Yep. I have to ask you about this. I don't know if you saw it today. The minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, and a few of his colleagues held a sit-in on the Capitol steps. Like eight people showed up, half of whom were probably staffers. You've been in the minority. I mean, it just seems like right now they're wandering around without a plan and just throwing bombs and trying to find AOC running around talking about I don't know what's going on across the aisle.
Yeah. I mean, they really have no vision, and the vision talked about that they've supported is completely opposite of what Americans want.
And so left wing, far left.
They're trying to support the continuation of waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. They're trying to support illegal immigration coming
into
the country. Men
playing girl sports. Yeah.
So many of those things that they're out promoting, and now they're saying, oh, wait a minute, the voters don't want that. You know, what do we do? And they can't figure out what they want to do. So they're actually just flailing around that because they don't have anything positive to talk about for America. So they try to do some sound bites. You know, we talked earlier about Van Hollen and, and some other members of Congress that went down to rail on, you know, illegal immigrant and help support that. We look at other things that are out there, you know, whether you talk about just the things that are bloated in the government and how much trying to rein in some of that spending and where things have gone. And as DOGE and other things are being uncovered, we're seeing that a lot of that money's flowing into Democrat supporters and Democrat donors.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the federal treasury.
We had a guest on last hour who talked about the Stacey Abrams money and some of the EPA money that Biden, you know, billions of dollars that was going to some of these organizations.
Being funneled to these organizations. Right. And in a lot of cases, once it leaves the government hands, if there's not strict provisions for oversight, it's disappeared. I mean, there is no control over it after that, after it gets out. And so, you know, the Democrats, they don't have a message. They don't have something that the American people want. And, you know, American people, they want a strong America. They want to have good economic growth. They want to have jobs for Americans and want to make sure that we have good, strong defense for our country.
And then they want the government to leave them alone. I mean, which is hard for people who love the nanny state, is what the opposite side
right.
of the aisle.
That's right. I mean, our whole system was based on having limited government so that people could have more freedom, more choices, and opportunity to do what they want to do. And that's just, it's gotten so bloated over time.
Congressman, I appreciate you as always coming and joining us. If folks want to reach out, if they want to, I know I get your Ron's Reads. If they want to get your newsletter or stay in touch, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, the best way to do that is estes.house.gov. That's our website. I mean, you can sign up for a newsletter there and keep up with some of the things that are going on.
Well, I have credit where credit's due. I have stolen more than one carry-on commentary from your Ron's Reads. So thank you again, and always a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, it's great, and you know, our staff pulls together a lot of good things that they see and helps out with making that happen.
Well, my best.
Thank you for being here
to Debbie and to Roman and to your lovely wife, your better half.
Well, thank you.